Of the nearly 400 active elements of opium that became known to the great brothers, the contemporary chemists of the earth know how to obtain only 42, which now have the following names: morphine, protopine, lanthopine, porphyroxin, opium or narcotine, paramorphine or thebaine, formine or pseudomorphine, metamorphine, noscopine, oleopine, atropine, pyridine, riodine, tictonine, colotine, xanthaline, zutine, tritopine, laudamine, laudanosine, podotorine, arcatosine, tocatosine, lictonosine, meconidine, papaverine, cryptonine, cadmine, polonine, polononine, cotarnine, hydrocotarnine, opianine or meconine, mecozine, listotorine, phytonosine, codeine, narcaine, pseudocodeine, micropyrene, microthebane, and 42, massine. The last time I was on your planet, I heard that the contemporary learned beings of the community of Germany had, as it were, discovered methods of extracting several other independent active elements from opium. But as I had already been convinced that the contemporary scientists of that community, for the most part, only indulge in fantasy, and like the beings of ancient Greece, prepare nothing good or beneficial for future generations, I took no interest in these scientific attainments, as they call them, and do not know the names of these new active elements of the present day. As regards the second of these three fragments relating to the practical results attained by the reason of those beings of ancient China, which had reached contemporary beings, namely the knowledge relating to the law of the combination of colors, this information was transmitted almost continuously from generation to generation. But year by year it was progressively distorted, until barely two centuries ago it was finally forgotten. At the present time, some information relating to this law is still passed down, but it is known only to certain three brain beings of the community named Persia. Moreover, now that the influence of the famous modern European painting is automatically spreading more and more widely throughout the community, one must, of course, expect, as our esteemed teacher would say, the speedy and total evaporation of this information. As regards the seven-tone scale of sound that reached your contemporary favorites from the ancient Chinese beings, I must tell you about this in as much detail as possible, first of all, because this information will help you understand the laws of vibrations, in which all the details of the sacred Heptaparaparshanot can be observed and recognized, and also because I brought home with me, among other objects intentionally manufactured by your favorites for use in their ordinary daily existence, a sound-producing instrument called a piano, on which the strings that generate vibrations are arranged and can be tuned in the same way as on the Zendvok, that is, the second principal part of the famous experimental apparition Ala Atapan, created by the great twin brothers. When we return to our dear Caritas, I can demonstrate to you on this piano what is called the order of succession of the processes of reciprocal blending of vibrations. And, thanks to my practical explanations, you will be able more easily to represent to yourself and approximately understand just how and in what order the process of the most great Trogo Auto Egocrat takes place in our great megalocosmos, and in what way both large and small cosmic concentrations arise. While telling you how this third fragment relating to the practical results of the ancient true knowledge survived and automatically reached your contemporary favorites, let me explain more precisely this same law of vibrations, which was first formulated by the great brothers, as the law of the seven centers of gravity of the vibrations of sound. I've already said that at the beginning, while that totality of true information, or that fragment of genuine knowledge, was being handed down from the beings of one generation to another, through genuine initiates alone, not only did the exact meaning put into it remain unchanged in its entirety, but, thanks to other genuine learned beings among their followers, it began to be worked out in greater detail and even became accessible to the perception of ordinary three-brained terrestrial beings. Among these followers, about a century and a half after the sacred Roscoarno of the saintly brothers, was a certain genuine learned being by the name of King Tutosi, who, on the basis of the principles of construction of the middle part of the apparatus a la Atapan, named Zend Vok, propounded a very detailed theory called the theory of the evolution and involution of vibrations. And to confirm this theory, he made a special experimental apparatus which he named Lavmertz Noch, and which later, by the way, also became known to almost all the learned beings of our great megalocosmos. This apparatus, Lavmertz Noch, like the middle part of the a la Atapan, consisted of a very strong frame on which a great many strings were stretched, made from the tail hairs and gut of various quadruped beings there. One end of each string was attached to one edge of this frame, and the other to a peg inserted into the opposite edge. These pegs were inserted in such a way that they could be freely turned in their peg holes, and the strings attached to them could be tightened or loosened at will to obtain the required number of vibrations. Of the many strings attached on the Lavmertz Noch, 49 were colored white, and the totality of vibrations, that is to say, the specific sound produced by the oscillations of each one of them, was called a center of gravity of the octave. This specific sound corresponds to what your favorites now call a whole tone. Each set of seven strings producing center of gravity sounds or whole tones was then called an octave, as it still is today. So in this way, there was stretched on the apparatus, Lavmertz Noch, seven octaves of whole tones, the total harmony of which gave what is called the sacred Hanziano, just what the two great brothers had surmised, and which proved to coincide almost exactly with what, as I already said, they had named the Nuranuosnasian world sound. Each of these octaves of strings on the Lavmertz Noch gave that totality of vibrations which, according to the calculations of the great twin brothers, corresponded to the totality of vibrations of all the cosmic substances issuing from seven separate independent sources, substances that constitute one of the seven centers of gravity of the fundamental common cosmic and Sapalnian octave. Each white string on the Lavmertz Nook was tuned separately by this Chinese learned being, King Tutos, in such a way that it gave the average number of vibrations which, according to the calculations of the Great Brothers, ought to be present in the substances constituting one of the seven centers of gravity of the given totality of substances, which in its turn constitutes one of the seven centers of gravity of the fundamental cosmic octave of substances. On the Lavmertz Nook, each octave, as well as each whole tone of the octave, had its own name. Thus, the highest octave of the strings was called Arachiopel Muish, the second highest Erkrordiapan, the third highest Erordiapan, the fourth highest Jorodiapan, the fifth highest Pianjiapan, the sixth highest Vetsordiapan, the seventh highest Octorordiapan. And the center of gravity strings, which were colored white, had the same names in all octaves, with the addition of the name of the given octave. These whole tones were called thus. The first, the highest in the octave, Adashtanas. The second highest, Evotanas. The third highest, Jivorgdanis. The fourth highest, Maikitanas. The fifth highest, Maidatanus. The sixth highest, Lukatanas. The seventh highest, Sonitanis. The contemporary beings of the earth now call these same whole tones Do, Si, La, Sol, Fa, Mi, Re. By the way, my boy, in order that the greatness of these two saintly brothers may be still more evident to you, I draw your attention to the fact that the calculations they made to establish what is called the quality of the vivifyingness of the vibrations of sound, which according to their suppositions corresponded with the vivifyingness of the common sources of substances, was found to coincide almost exactly with reality. Their merit was indeed all the greater, because they, as terrestrial beings, had no true information about this and were able to make these correct suppositions and almost exact calculations of many objective cosmic truths exclusively thanks to their own conscious labors and intentional sufferings. Well, my boy, this learned being, King Tutos, strung in certain places on the Lavmertz Nook in each octave, in between these white strings or whole tones, five other strings, but this time colored black. He named these black strings Demi-Sakhakasha, which corresponded to what the beings of the earth call half-tones. On the Lavmertz Nook, none of these half-tone strings were stretched in the spaces between those whole-tone strings, where, according to the indications of the saints Chun-Kiltas and Chun-Tropel, and in conformity with the sacred Heptaparaparshanok, there is no possibility of the independent evolution and involution of the vibrations of sound spaces that they were the first to call intervals. And in the places of the octave where these intervals were between the whole tones, this learned being, King Tutos, stretched special strings made of the tail hairs of a being called horse. These hair strings produced vibrations which were not always the same, and King Tutos called them chaotic vibrations. The number of vibrations obtained from these hair strings did not depend on their tension, as in the case of the other strings, but on other causes, chiefly on three conditions ensuing from surrounding cosmic results, namely the action of the vibrations produced around them by other strings of the Lav Merzt Noch, what is called the temperature of the atmosphere at the given moment, and the radiations of the beings nearby of whatever brain system. On this Lav Merzt Noch, between the white, black, and hair strings in each octave, 14 strings made of twisted gut were also stretched, which were colored red and called Kiskest Chur. And if contemporary beings of the earth were to use these strings, they would call them quarter tones. Further, all these quarter tone strings on either side of the hair strings were attached in such a way that by tightening or loosening them, the vibrations issuing from them could at any moment be changed as desired. And these vibrations could be regulated and blended by ear with the chaotic vibrations obtained from the hair strings. And this was so arranged because, thanks to the frequently changing vibrations of the hair strings, the quality of which depended, as I already said, on the temperature of the atmosphere, on the radiations of the beings nearby, and on many other causes, the vibrations of these red strings acquired the property, when they did not blend with the vibrations of the hair strings, of acting on the beings present very cacophonically and injuriously, even to the extent of their total destruction. By frequently varying the tension of the red strings, however, and by blending these vibrations with those issuing from the Lav Merzt Noch, they were rendered harmless. That is, by this means, the totality of vibrations issuing from the Lav Merzt Noch became a harmonious flow for the beings who heard them and ceased to have a harmful action.